He took my engagement ring off of me and he fell off of the face of the earth and didn't pay me back what he owed me, which was half, which is like, what, 16 grand.
Hello and welcome back to Successful Solutions, where we help make action your greatest habit. Some people live their whole life in one town. And Mel Rubin has definitely not done that. Part of it was her life in London, and now she lives in Bali, Indonesia, two very different countries. She goes through many spiritual and professional life journey progressions, so please enjoy this episode. It was a lot of fun to record, and overall, she's just a fun person to talk to, so I feel you'll enjoy her vibe and where she's coming from. As a special note, due to the time it takes me to edit each episode and the need to stay consistent, I will be cutting down all episodes to about 15-minute sections, which also follows the second rule of habit change, which is make it easy. So if you want to take that into your own life and say, oh, you know, if I'm having a trouble or difficulty with my habits, if I just make it easy, easy is one of the make spending less time on doing something. So thank you for being here on this journey with me. Enjoy this episode. I really appreciate you guys. You guys are like my core listeners, and it's just so fantastic to grow over the years with the show and with you guys. I'm coming up on the 5th year anniversary of my podcasting experience. So this is a lot of fun, guys. I hope you're having a wonderful day. Take care. Keep being who you are, and let's move forward together. All righty. Cheers.
What has been one of the biggest struggles that have made you the best person that you are today?
It was definitely my whole life leading up to about the time I was 25 and a half, before I actually started my journey of personal growth and self-discovery. I'd been through a lot, ranging from, like, I didn't feel seen and heard, hence why I look the way I do with my tattoos. Like, unconsciously, I did this to myself until I became conscious of the fact that I did it unconsciously. I'd struggled through depression and anxiety, drink and drug abuse growing up. You look confused. Why do you look confused?
I think what I'm wondering about in my own mind is, you said that you went through this phase of feeling like you weren't heard or seen. Is that the way you phrased
yeah.
it? So tell me more about, what do you mean? What is this viewpoint that you're sharing? Like, what ages were you around this time frame that you were feeling that way?
Oh gosh, this was since I was really young. So probably from about the age of 7 or 8 and upwards, because, like, I'm a very big communicator. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I'm very emotional. If I was acting up or playing up, as my parents would say, so I didn't feel seen or heard when I was younger. A lot of the times when I was going through things and when I was trying to communicate the way that I felt, and essentially I wasn't loved in the way that I needed to be loved as a child by my parents. Now, it's not to say that my parents were bad people, because they're not. They're amazing people, but they just had their own trauma that they hadn't dealt with, and they would love me in the way that they could love me from their standpoint and their own love languages and such. But when it came to me being loved in the way that I needed to, when it came to being seen and being heard and communicating and talking and, like, understanding certain things, I didn't get that from a very young age. So from that young age, kind of going into my whole life story here, but this is the way that it's flowing.
Yeah, yeah.
So it kind of spiraled. And because I felt like that when I was very young, I was actually a bully, outwardly projecting my hurt onto other people. I was also bullied. I fell into depression from a very young age, since I was about 14. Because of that, I hardly went to school. My mum nearly got sent to prison. And then when I went back to school, because they made me, got into the wrong crowd. I started doing drink and drugs. I actually started drinking since I, from the age of 12, smoked weed for the first time when I was 14. Drugs were really prevalent in my life until about the age of 27. So I ended up looking for love in all of the wrong places. And I went through a range of different toxic relationships. You know, I was basically attracting everything to me that I felt inside about myself, essentially. Now I know, now I've done the work. My drink and drug abuse got worse, especially after I got into a long-term toxic and emotionally abusive relationship that I was in, because he had a very addictive personality. Fortunately, I haven't. I'm very grateful for that, but I do love a party. When we first got together, he was like very much into his drinking, and then it moved over to smoking weed, and then it moved over to cocaine. We were living on the working class wages, essentially, but we loved living a champagne lifestyle. So we got into a lot of debt together in my name. And naively, because I was so in love, I thought we'd be together forever. We was together for 2 years, and then we got engaged, and we lived together for 1 year. And then it just started going really downhill, because I've always had quite a growth mindset and quite a positive mindset, but I'm very much affected by the people that I'm around. So because my ex-partner just wasn't ready and willing to take accountability for where he was at, and he just wanted to escape. And I was also at a place of escapism as well. I'm not blaming him. We got in a lot of debt together, like 32 grand's worth. And then we split up in the May 2017. He took my engagement ring off of me, and he fell off of the face of the earth and didn't pay me back what he owed me, which was half, which is like, what, 16 grand. I was at rock bottom from probably about the May until the July. And then a Facebook advert popped up and said, "Are you looking to radically transform your financial future?" I didn't have any idea what I was getting involved in, but I was working 9 to 5 for a bank at the time, and I was studying to be an accountant, and I had all of this debt to pay, and I was living on my own now because I kicked him out. Okay. So I was like, I'd rather struggle and learn through. I made all of these decisions to get to where I am today. I have to take ownership of this, and I need to sort it out myself. Started in the online world in July 2017. I had no idea what I was really getting into, if I'm completely honest with you. But I knew that I wanted what my then mentor had, which was the freedom lifestyle and the money coming in. Invested the last of my savings into the training platform, which was £75 at the time. Put me on a path of personal growth and self-discovery. My mentor said to me, if you want to be a successful entrepreneur, you really need to work on your mindset. And then I got introduced into the law of attraction and the laws of the universe, the law of vibration. And that's when I found my spirituality, because before then I was agnostic. There is a higher power. I mean, if you look around us, but I just didn't have the answers. So I was like, there is something, but I don't know what it is. And did you want to say something?
That's one of my favorite parts about doing this interview with Mel, is she observes and can tell when there's like, hey, I want to talk. She's fantastic. So outside of this, here's a small commercial break. I have started to make basically a type of lip balm that is healing. I actually grew up with this stuff. I'm a second generation chemist, would be the technical thing for it. But it's really cool, because if you have a sprained injury, it's useful for arthritis. It's actually a variety of essential oils, and probably what's going to happen, there's going to be a future episode that gives you all the depths of what this is and how it's helpful and what it can do for your body. But if you go over to my Patreon account, which I'll include in the description, you can sign up to get a monthly little balm of this thing. It's a little monthly amount. And if anything, you can give it away to a friend too, because it's very helpful for the body to heal and recover. I was actually dealing with my own ankle injury, and I have a hip injury that have been going on for more than a year. And I started to put the stuff on, and I felt magically better, because there's also Epsom salts in it, which is a type of magnesium, and magnesium helps the muscles relax. So I was basically dealing with these chronic pain injuries. I started to use this stuff that I made, and I was like, wow, this is fantastic. And from what I understand, nobody has done this. There's different variations of this, but doing it this way in this specific type of format, it's revolutionary in my own viewpoint. The person who taught me how to do this was like, that was a good idea. And hearing someone who's been a chemist their entire professional career was incredible to hear. It really touched my heart. So it's a lot of fun. I'm really glad that I made this. I would love to share it with you. Just head over to Patreon and I'd be happy to send one over to you. Cheers, guys, and enjoy the rest of the episode.
You said earlier that you felt like you weren't being loved in the right ways. What did that mean for you?
The love that I personally need is literally to be seen and heard. Hear me. Like, there's a lot going on in here that I like to communicate and I like to share and I like to talk about. This is the kind of love that I require. I'd rather just sit in comfortable silence than talk about that, if we're honest. Like, I'm all about learning about your story. What sets your soul on fire? What are you going through? What are your emotions? Creating a safe space in the bubble of the relationship. This is you and this is me. You might not necessarily understand completely where I'm coming from because my world is mine and your world is yours. But hearing it and respecting it and appreciating it and being able to have an open dialogue, even if we disagree, that's the kind of love that I require in relationships.
I like that. I like that. And at what point did you realize that was the kind of love you were seeking? Because I'm assuming you were going through certain things and then at some point you realized this isn't what I want. Is that?
Definitely been recently, over the last 3 years. And since I've been in Bali, I've found and connected to myself on a much deeper level. So I would say it's since I've been in Bali and throwing myself in a completely new environment where I don't know anyone. So it's like, okay, well, now I have to get to know people on the level of me, of who I am now. Because when I was in London, when I started my journey, I was completely different. And I guess at the start, when I first got to Bali, I was still a girl in a way. And since being in Bali, I have lotused out, should we say, and through me kind of pushing myself out of my comfort zone and putting myself in social situations and meeting new people throughout this journey and being around people that aren't drains me. That's a no for me. Like, I can love you from a distance. And then secondly, it's like, I'm at a level, like I said, where I want to speak deep. I want to talk about the universe and like the mind and the way the body works and emotions and stuff like that. And I have certainly realized this throughout my time here in Bali since 2020.
Interesting. And then with that, remind me what year you said you found the online world.
So that was in July 2017. Because I was in London, it was stifling my spiritual growth. There's like 11 million people in London and the energy in London and the UK is just very dense. A lot of people are living on autopilot. They're not living intentionally. They're living unconsciously. A lot of people aren't spiritual or religious. They, you know, they drink a lot. They do drugs a lot. So their vibration's quite low. I know that being in London was not good for my spiritual growth. I came to Bali for my spiritual healing. As much as I was learning from 2017, it wasn't until I got to Bali in 2020 that I realized the true connection of mind, body, and soul and really started listening to my body and the messages that my body was giving me and also what my soul was telling me as well. I had a conversation with my numerologist and she was like, yeah, 2020, you need to go to nature, rest, reflect, go within, do spiritual healing, attract everything, pursue nothing. That's what she said to me. When I heard that, my soul, go to Bali. So I was like, all right, fuck it, I'll go to Bali. I didn't know anything about Bali at all.
Wow. And how far is Bali from London?
You get a good flight. It's about 19 hours.
Nice. And so when you arrive, give me a breakdown on what your day-to-day basis looked like in London and then over here. Did you change certain things in the morning? Did you do something different in the afternoon? Was your nightly routine altered in some way because you're in Bali or because you wanted this different lifestyle? Like, what was before in London, and then what was now in Bali for you in relation to daily routines and activities?
London was like a 5-minute walk to the gym for me. So I'd wake up and go to the gym pretty much straight away. The changing routine for that was the gym to doing Insanity Max 30, which is a high intensity workout. I've kept my morning routine, although my morning routine has changed slightly, and I've kept my evening routine, but typically my days flow as to how I feel. I'm very fortunate because I can literally work as and when I want, wherever I want, because it's internet-based. I don't need to be anywhere for it. And it's global as well. So it's like whatever time zone suit. I've had to work out different ways to work that work best for me and setting my boundaries. Because when I first got here, I used to be a people pleaser. And naturally, I'm a giver, I'm a sharer. I like to give what I have because there's an abundance of, you know, I was giving that, but then at the time of my, at the expense of my time and my energy. So this has been a really big thing for me to learn, because obviously, like, time zone difference, I'm 7 or 8 hours in front of the UK, and I can be anywhere between 12 to 15 hours in front of Canada and the US. At first, like, call wise and work wise, because I've got an organization of people that I work with, as well as clients, I would set my schedule up to suit them. And then that would affect me and my sleep schedule. And over time, I'm like, I can't do this. It's just too much. I like getting up early in the morning. I like getting up between 5 and 6 and doing my morning routine nice and slow. So by the time I've finished my morning routine, it's what, 9, 10 o'clock. And then I've got the rest of the day. Off of the back of that, like, I've learned a lot about setting boundaries around my time and energy and my schedule, appreciating that for myself. Because at the end of the day, if people want to talk to me, if people want to work with me, they'll fit me around their schedule because of the value that I have to give. You know, I've got over 5 years experience in my industry as well as in my growth. So if they find value in it, I shouldn't have to move my schedule around. But when it comes to, like, my changing my routine and my schedule, I've still kept my morning routine. I've still kept my evening routine. Just throughout the day, it just flows. It just depends how I feel and what my energy's like. But in London, I had more energy in London because there's more people in London. I feed off of other people's energies. Think about the fact that I lived in a block of flats. 70% of people in that block of flats had sacral life force energy that I was feeding off of. So I was able to work more because I was feeding off of their energy. Whereas now, I have an abundance of space. Like, I live, like, I have a living area, my office, my bedroom, a guest house, a pool, and a garden. There's so much space here for me and my fur babies that I'm literally just off of my own energy, right? So now I'm not feeding off of anyone else's energy. So I've really had to, like, navigate and also be compassionate with the human that I am. And I only really started properly learning about the human design 3 years ago. So it's been like a journey of, okay, well, this is just the way that I am. And I'm fortunate enough that my business is built in a way where I don't need to work every day if I don't want to, if I don't need to, because the automation set up. I guess that's the only real thing that's properly changed from here to London is speed that I work at, if that makes sense. I'm more kind of free flowing and appreciative of where I'm at and what I need of my energy centers.
That's pretty powerful, everything you're talking about.
I told you, I'm not surface level. I'm quite deep.
It's great. It's great. You know, and I'm wondering, based off of that, what would you say was one of the more deeper transformations that you felt in your life that, when you realize, changed things for you?
And that is the end of the episode. Be sure to come back next month to hear the rest of what wonderful Miss Mel Rubin has to say. I will also encourage you to go reach out to her on LinkedIn, and I'll include the description below, so that way you can just click on that link and go find her and talk with her and say, Ian sent me. I want to speak with you. You're wonderful. Tell me about this online adventure. Awesome, guys. Take care. stay well, enjoy doing what you're doing, and yeah, let's work on the better part of ourselves.